Welcome to Growth Marketing Today, where marketers, designers, and product owners level up their growth marketing chops from experts in today's top startups. Here's your host, Ramley John.
Welcome to episode 118 of Growth Marketing Today. I'm your host, Ramley John. And today we're going to be talking all about conversion optimization. Now, potential customers will visit your site and will have a ton of questions and objections. If you don't answer them, most of them won't bother signing up. In this episode, Pedro Cortez, a SaaS marketing consultant, shares the 5 big landing page mistakes that are killing your conversion and stopping people from signing up to whatever you're offering. In episode 118, you'll learn first, 5 common landing page mistakes to avoid. Second, how to handle objections in your landing page. And third, the 3 pillars of getting massive long-term growth. Now, before we jump in, I have created a free growth cheat sheet with all the actionable tips from this episode in a 1-page PDF. Now, seriously, why take notes about this episode when you can just steal mine and download it for free? Go to growthtoday.fm/118 to get it now, or you can find this link in the description. Get it now, because when I publish the next episode next week, this cheat sheet will be gone. I also want to thank the sponsor for this episode, 42 Agency. Now, these folks help cover the cost of hosting and marketing tools so I can focus on getting amazing experts that you and I can learn from. 42 Agency works with high-growth B2B SaaS companies, helping them build and scale revenue and marketing operations that accelerate demand generation and pipeline growth. To learn more and get $500 in free consulting time, visit them at growthtoday.fm/42, this number 42, or find that link in the description. Well, enough about me. Let's jump into my chat with Pedro. Hey, everybody. I am excited to talk to Pedro. I have seen his LinkedIn post all about landing page and conversion optimization. I'm glad to have him here all the way from Portugal. How's it going, Pedro? How are things with you there?
I'm doing great, man. I'm really excited to try to drop as many best practices and as much value as possible about these landing pages.
I'm really excited for you to drop some knowledge bomb to all my listeners here. You know, before we jump into landing pages, I love hearing people's story. Just kind of humanizes people's experience and their expertise. Can you share your story of how you became a marketing consultant, particularly focused on landing pages and conversions?
Yeah, so I actually have like a pretty random story. So I guess it's going to be interesting. So a few years ago, I actually started off as a designer. I started off like doing the mobile apps and stuff like that as a UX UI designer. Then I lost interest in that because it wasn't like directly related to the bottom line of the company most of the time. Then I started switching to landing pages, and I just had an natural interest in SaaS. And then I just started doing landing pages for my clients. At the time, I was actually designing them and writing them and just basically doing everything for them, right? And the problem is, like, it took me like a bunch of time. I had no idea which things were going to have an impact or not. It just felt like a mess, right? And I don't like that stuff, because I like to have frameworks. I like to be very consistent, and I just didn't like that. And even though my clients were getting good results, and some clients were getting really good results, I just wanted to find a way to get results, like amazing results, every single time. And that would take less time on my end, so they can get better results, they could get it faster, and that would be better for everyone, right? Because then if I get them better results, I could charge more. And if I do it in less time, I can have more clients, I can help them more, like all sorts of stuff. So the way I made the transition is I figured out, who can teach me, or who was able to do this like every single time, make it work every single time. And after like a few months of research, I basically found out that the direct response copywriters were the ones that made it work every single time, because they have to mail like tons of letters. And if they failed, they would go out of business, because they would get like hundreds of thousands of dollars in upfront costs. And they were selling physical products, right? So it's a whole different ball game. And then I just, spent a few years studying them and saw that, okay, this is what I'm naturally good at. This is, this really reflects my personality and how I think and everything. So I just doubled down on that, And then I just applied it to SAS because I did notice that they all of them had like formulas and everything to make everything consistent. That's what I did. I created my own formula for SAS, and that improved it like a bunch of different times. And fast forward like 3 or 4 years now, and yeah, things are been doing way better, way more consistent.
You're talking about direct response. You know, one of my favorite copywriters is Dan Kennedy. Who did you learn from? Like, which direct response, or did you just looked up some direct response examples online?
I think Dan Kennedy, I think, is the best copywriter in my opinion. just because he's the guy that actually translates all of the stuff, all of the copywriting stuff, to different areas of marketing, and he's actually ready for the modern age. Right? It's not like the other copywriters that either died, or they just stuck with direct response, right? And yeah, people always tell that David Ogilvy is like the best one.
Yeah.
But I disagree. I actually didn't like his books that much. So I think there are like a way better copywriters. I like for me, then Kennedy is the best by far.
Interesting. All right. Would you suggest people who are trying to learn copywriting? You know, he has a book. I think it's about something letters or born letters, right? Would you suggest
That's from Gary Albert. That's also really good. That's also really good because that's like the concepts that he talks about is actually very similar to the Lean Startup, but it has like a copywriter mindset to it. But it's very, very similar.
Which book? I forget. I actually bought it just like a few weeks ago, Dan Kennedy's book. Did you read any of his books, or did you just like look it up online?
I think I have all of his books except one, something like that.
So that's good to know. I'm gonna dig through that. I haven't had a chance to read it. You're talking about bringing results for SaaS companies. You're right. There's a lot of SaaS landing pages and websites are very formulaic. They all look the same. I love how you kind of break down not just SaaS companies website that you go through, but you also drop some knowledge online on LinkedIn. In one of them, you talked about the biggest problem in SaaS marketing is that people are not really clearly explaining what the product does. And you talked about like this 5 big mistakes, but can you talk a little bit about big mistakes that SaaS companies are making when it comes to explaining their product on their website?
Yeah, I mean, there are like a lot of different mistakes that they do. So I guess we can go through like the top five, like one by one, and really break them down. So I think the first one is really just having all those websites that have like landing page inspiration and really looking at other companies as an example and all that stuff. The problem is all these companies that you guys look up to, like MailChimp or Slack. Those are like the usual examples. Slack is way better now, but they're still not that great. But for example, MailChimp is like horrible. They're like super vague. And the reason why they can afford to be vague is because people just know what MailChimp is. They don't have to read the website at this point. The MailChimp is just so big. And you know, these companies that they are definitely not as big, they can afford to make those mistakes. Is that there is like another thing in copywriting that is like from the tagline. There were some book that told me about that. So for example, they would say that the tagline can get vaguer and vaguer the bigger the company gets because more people are aware of it. So when you start out, you have like a really specific tagline and then you can get a little more vague. So that's the example. That's why if this works with bigger companies. Like it's still not totally recommended, but they can get away with it, and you can't. So don't play around with that because that may make you go out of business, right? Because you don't even know if they are working. And I'll actually talk with a lot of these companies, and like some of the biggest SaaS companies, they asked me for help. Somehow none of them converted. Maybe I criticized their website too much. but yeah, I do know that some of them don't work at all.
That's funny. And then in terms of the second one, that was the first one. So they are too vague. What are the other kind of mistakes that SaaS are doing when it comes to websites?
Yeah, so another one could be about focusing on industry standards or focusing on conversion rates. So for example, let's say they just have this assumption that I need to be converting at 2% or more than 2% or whatever, right? That totally doesn't matter. What you need to focus on is like unit economics, right? So if you want to convert a customer at $100, what do you need to be converting at to hit that goal? Because that's what's actually going to scale your company if you can acquire a customer at a reasonable cost, not if you're converting at 5%. And on my own website, I don't even care. Like my metric is how many calls I'm getting per month, which just translates to how many people want to become a client per month. Right? That's my metric. Like if I convert 1 or 10%, I don't care, right? Because that's the real metric for me, and that's what people need to figure out. Like how many demos do they need to get? How many free trials do they need to get? Which ones are good fits? All that stuff, not the conversion rate. And I'm the guy that optimizes the conversion, so it's a lot coming from me, right?
Right, that's true. And then what are the other ones? I think one of them is about illustration, and I did have a. If I recall, you dedicated a whole LinkedIn post of how much you hate those pretty illustrations that you see almost every company. Like I see it in Intercom, I see it with a few other companies that they use on their website. Why do you hate them so much?
Yeah, because you know, they're like very vague. They are like they all look the same, and you can't really tell you know, what the product looks like. You can't really tell because like an image can say a lot of things, right? And sometimes if you have like most of my clients, they have something that is really, really easy to use. It's much easier to use than any other solution that there is on the market for their niche, right? So there's a really big advantage in showing what the tool looks like, or just showing a GIF of how it works and everything, right? Because the image is there to support the copy. And if we just have like a random person looking at a document, it's just going to be totally useless, right? We need something that is going to be concrete. The only illustrations that are actually good are the ones that recreate screenshots, and they just get rid of the noise, right? So they blurred out the rest, and they make like a part of the UI stand out, but it still looks like a screenshot. It's like an illustration of a screenshot. So it's kind of like a hybrid. Those are the best ones, but those are like really rare. So I just say like, it's easier to just take a screenshot or use a GIF because those are like, they take like 10 seconds. And if you go to a website like Squilly.com, you drag and drop a screenshot and it makes it look professional right away and you don't need a designer. Wow.
That's good. That's good to know. And also screenshots help visualize what the product will look like, so they're not surprised when you log in, right?
Yeah, exactly. Because you're not going to, they're going to be super, super skeptical to sign up for a thing that they haven't seen yet. Like you're signing up for a thing. Like when was the last time that you bought something without seeing it? Like without seeing any pictures or something? It's not going to happen.
That's true. What are your thoughts about, you know, companies like Drift, where there's a lot of pictures of logos and human faces? What are your thoughts about using all human faces to try to humanize a brand versus absolutely no screenshots?
Yeah, I mean, I'm really not a fan of that because that just screams like stock photos kind of thing. so it's not useful at all. That's the typical thing that that people like to focus on, like brand awareness and like the emotions of a brand. And let's be honest, that's all bullshit. Right. And I mean, that's really useless. The main goal that we have with the website is to get them to believe that if they use your products, they're going to get the result that they want. Right. So that's really it. That's all we have to convince them. You only have that one goal for the landing page. Right. It doesn't matter if you have like a pretty woman looking at your tool or pointing to your screenshot. It's going to make a big difference.
Yeah. That kind of leads to the fourth mistake that you found, which is people talk a lot about features and benefits and not enough about like really focusing on how your thing can help people. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, because people always talk about, you know, here are the, let's use benefits and let's use features or whatever, right? Some people use a lot of features, some people use a lot of benefits. And if you use a lot of features, then you're just talking about your product and it's going to be useless. And if you only talk about benefits, then it's going to be super vague. And then it's going to look like those agency websites that say, okay, we're going to grow your business. And then you look at that and say, how the hell are you going to grow my business, right? Just like, they look like all those agency websites, they look the same. They're like super vague and useless, right? So what you need to do is really focus on explaining them step by step, like in 3 to 5 steps, how they can use your product to get the result that they want. So you start off with a benefit for the headline. So we say, okay, you're going to do this to get this result. And then you explain how they can get it because of this certain feature.
That's so true. And just for the last mistake that you wrote down in that LinkedIn post, you talk about having a ton of different landing pages. What do you mean by that?
Because most SaaS companies are now obsessed with having like tons of segmentation and having tons of different pages. Let's say you have like a CRM and you want to have like a page for real estate, a page for financial services, whatever it is, like all bunch of different niches. And that can help, especially with PPC and stuff like that. But the problem is if you have like an always awesome solution, which means that they have the same use case across a different niche, if they use the product in the same way, then the problems and the benefits and the results that they're going to get, they're also the same. There's a huge overlap, right? So you don't need to do that. And you don't need to have like tons of different pages. What you need to do is have a single page that explains something really, really well. So they have all the information that they need to take the next step. Because you don't need to sell them on every single thing about the product. You need to sell them on the next step. Because that's what the landing page needs to do. Not sell them the product, sell them the next step, which is to get a free trial or get a demo. And that's where you sell the product, is after they try it in a free trial or after you get it on a call with a salesperson and they do their magic. That's what we want, right?
That's a good point. I think you're right. It's just selling them the next step, not selling them the whole shebang, right? So just to summarize the five problems that you find, five big mistakes is first, you know, companies copying bigger companies when it's too vague. So inspiration in terms of landing pages. Second, you're talking about the 2% conversion rate. The third is illustrations. The fourth is about focusing on how you can help the target audience versus features and benefits. And the fifth is just having too many landing pages. The question now is how do you fix those? Like do you have some kind of process or some kind of pillars that you can help people fix those mistakes so that your ideal customer actually looks at your product as the perfect solution?
Yeah. So the way we fix those is we have to get really clear on two things, right? You need to get really clear on why people buy your product, why they think it's better, why they choose it over anything else, why they switch over from a competitor's tool to your tool, all that stuff. And then we need to get really clear on the other end, like why they didn't buy your product. Maybe they have this question or this objection, or they think they didn't have this feature, or they had like this misconception where they thought your product did one thing, but in reality it does another thing, which is like super common. So when you know exactly why they buy and exactly why they don't buy, then you have all the information needed to come up with the perfect messaging and come up with a perfect small little funnel. Because I use very, very simple funnels. I don't have like tons of different pages, which is going to be a total mess to manage.
That's true. That totally makes sense. You also talked about these three pillars in one of your LinkedIn posts on how to get massive long-term growth with your website. What are those three pillars that you talked about?
Yeah, so you know, people are really focused on improving their website, improving their landing page and all that stuff. But that's really not enough, right? Because if you improve your landing page, and you can see like people still do like a lot of mistakes, so that's still an achievement if they can improve it, right? If they can improve it, they're going to get an immediate result because they're going to get like they have like a bunch of people coming into their website every day, and they previously weren't converting because they were a little bit confused. And now that the landing page is better, you know, more of them will turn into customers, right? So they get an immediate result. But that result doesn't compound over time, right? And I like stuff that compounds over time because then it just means that I'm providing more value to my clients, right? So the other two pillars that you need to have in place is you need to realize that the landing page only helps people convert that are ready, somewhat ready to buy. So they are ready to buy right now or within a few weeks, or at least they have the pain and it's like a recent thing, right? Then we need pillar number two. And the pillar number two is like having like some sort of lead magnet. And the way I describe that is, let's say we have two sides of a chasm, right? Where there's like a huge hole in the middle. And on one side is people that, read your blog, or they watch one of your webinars, or they heard of you, someone refer you to your product or something like that, right? So they're on the left side, on the other end, right? They just heard of you. And then here's the call to action that you want them to go through, like booking a demo or getting a free trial, which is a bigger commitment, right? And there's like a huge hole in between. And very few people are actually going to, make the leap, take that jump and get to the other side. So what we need to do is build some sort of bridge. And that bridge is usually like a lead magnet or an alternative. So if you're offering a free trial, you can offer them a demo. Or if you offer them a demo, you can offer them like a webinar so they can see, so can learn a little bit more about the problems, and they can take the next step and book a personalized demo because the webinar is like a group demo kind of thing. Just to really build our bridge and get the remaining around 70% of people where the time isn't right, which is out of our control, and get their contact info so we can convert them long term. And that's how you build a big pipeline, because over time, those people will get into the right stage, like by themselves, and then that's how you compound your pipeline. And then finally is really just optimizing your channel. So optimizing, like for if you're writing a blog, like making the message on your blog cohesive with the landing page and with your lead magnet and making everything work together, or maybe your PPC traffic make it cohesive as well, or whatever the channels you have, like tweaking those to take full advantage of the other two pillars.
When we come back in just a moment, Pedro shares the three pillars to get massive long-term growth. Just a quick thanks to our sponsor for this episode, 42 Agency. Now, 42 Agency works with high-growth B2B SaaS companies, helping them build and scale revenue marketing operations that accelerate demand generation and pipeline growth. They've worked with some amazing companies like OnFleet, HubDoc, GuestLogic, FlexDay, and more. And to top it off, I actually know the founder of 42 Agency, Camille Rexton, and he knows his stuff. So go reach out to him. He's actually offering a free $500 consulting time for Growth Today listeners. You can visit them at growthtoday.fm/42 or find the link in the description. It'll redirect to this special offer. One more thing, don't forget to download the free growth cheat sheet for this episode. It has all the actionable tips from this episode in a one-page PDF. Why take notes when you can just steal mine? You can take all the actionable tips from this episode and apply it to your business to accelerate the growth even faster. You can find the link in the description of this show. Download it now before I take it away, because it'll only be up until next week. Enough about this, let's jump back into my chat with Pedro. That is so good. Very, very helpful. I'm thankful for you sharing that. I want to talk a little bit about handle objections. I think a lot of direct response copywriters also make sure they handle objections right in their copy. How do you see that fitting in into how that fits into a landing page or into the website? Where would you put any handle objections in?
So there are two ways of doing that. So whenever I create a page with my clients, we always have what I call like a problem section. So before we explain our solution, we show them, we have like a section talking about the problem. And what that does, it gets them to, it reminds them of how painful it really is. And it shows them that there is no other solution that they can use that is going to be perfect for the problem that they have. So in that section, we talk about the problems of the current tool that they're using. They might be using an off-the-shelf tool. They might be doing it manually. They might be using a spreadsheet, right? That might be their current solution. And we critique that current solution and you quantify the problem, right? And we actually list out, okay, here are all the problems that they have. And on the other end, we also talk about the other solutions that they're considering, right? Because that's the thing that you're fighting against, is their current solution and the other solution options that they are considering. So basically your competitors, right? And we want to explain, okay, your competitors are not as easy to use, or they don't have you know, this X and Y integration, or they take hours or weeks to implement, or they take months to learn, right? Just really criticizing you know, those points. So then when you start explaining the solution, you're going to explain step by step how they can use your product to get the results, and all of the problems that the other solutions had, yours doesn't have, right? So all the benefits that we're going to put in the solution part are the inverted version of the problems that the other products had, right? So you're going to look at that and say, okay, this is exactly what I was looking for. And that's the most powerful reaction that you're going to get. Because if someone believes that you have the perfect solution for them, they're not going to look anywhere else. They're not going to hesitate. They're just going to buy your tool. And then lastly is, if we're talking about a specific use case and we're saying, okay, let's say we are saying, okay, step number one is to import your data from your website, right? And they might have an objection saying, okay, will this work automatically? Will I have to, is this GDPR compliant? Something like that, right? Let's just say they have that objection. We would just answer that right away. We wouldn't add like an FAQ or something like that. We'd answer it within the body copy or within the headline or even on the image. And worst case, we would add a little thing like an FAQ where we say, when we have like quotes and then a question saying, okay, what if this, like, is this GDPR compliant, for example? And then you would answer it right away. It's like an FAQ that is separate and it has like one question per section max.
That's a good point. I love how you're putting all the handle objection and trying to integrate it already in the copy. In terms of the FAQ page, I usually notice that it's at the bottom of the landing page. Is that good? Is that bad? Or is that what you suggest? Or another page that's focused just on FAQ?
No, what you need to do is you need to answer the objections before before they even think of the objection. So whenever you're talking about that section, let's say it's about importing the data, they might think, okay, how long is this going to take? And then they're going to ask themselves that. So you're going to say, okay, we have one-click integrations for all these tools. And they'll say, okay, this is amazing. But then again, their brain is going to say, okay, but is this GDPR compliance? And then you add that question as well. Yes, this is GDPR compliant. So then they constantly go back from excited to skeptical. And then when they're skeptical, you answer the objection. So they go back to excited. And then once they get to the end of the page, they are still excited. And they take the next step. Because if they are skeptical, if you don't answer one question, they'll stay in the skeptical side and they're not going to convert. But if you keep them on the excited side, they're going to convert. It's very, very, a very fine line to play with.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good way to put it. It is a fine line. I want to talk a little bit about, you know, an example of how you helped a company out before and after that you've worked with, or maybe just a case study that you don't have to name the company if you can't. But what were some of the results of how you helped out a company with all of these things that you talked about, and you know, how has their business improved?
Yeah, for sure. I actually have like a lot of those. One that would be very relevant because we're just talking about those objections is I was working with a client like a few weeks ago, and we worked on a bunch of things, but he had to find a designer for some of the changes. So he's still updating on some of those changes. But the thing that he changed first was the pricing page. Right. And here's the thing about the pricing page. There are like a couple of things that you need to do. So one is you need to anchor the price. You need to remind them the alternative of not buying your product. So then they'll look at the price and say, okay, I'm saving money, not spending money. Right. That's one thing that we did. Then another thing is if we have several plans, we really need to get super, super clear on which one you need to decide. Because if I'm looking at the plan and I'm not sure which one is for me, then I'm going to hesitate and I'm not going to convert. But if I get like if I read it and I say, okay, this is, let's say it's like a plan for consultants, a plan for agencies, and a plan for enterprise. If I'm a consultant, I look at the consultant plan and I'm not going to look at it anywhere else. This is one for me. I'm going to sign up, right? That's the kind of focus that you want to have on your pricing page. And then lastly is really answering all of the objections. So once we did all of that, which is really, I'm telling you that because this was something that the only changes that we made was really answering the objections. And we basically increased the revenue of the pricing page by 30-something percent just with the pricing page.
Dang. Good thing that you pointed out pricing page. I was going to talk a little bit about that, but that's amazing. One other thing I wanted to talk about is you've done a bunch of breakdowns of landing pages already. Which one was your favorite? One that you haven't worked on that you can be like, whatever they're doing, people need to look at.
Yeah. So my I would say my favorite would probably be Basecamp. I would still tweak a few things, but Basecamp just has like a very clear understanding of what they're building, on who they're targeting, and even if in their books they say, okay, we are okay with people that outgrow our product, right? So they know exactly when people start using their product and when they stop using their product. They basically know their customer and their niche better than anyone else on the market. And when they know they have that information, they can create really, really good pages. And they have been growing a lot after the COVID, the pandemic, because a lot of people are working remotely, and they fully took advantage of that. And they really explain how you can make the transition really, really easily, right? And that they were really, their page was really good with that. And the other example, which is pretty good as well, is Notion, because the reason why I like that product is it tells you exactly how you're going to use it. And as they explain you how you're going to use it, they show you, okay, let's say you're doing like a document, like a wiki for your company, right? And then they say, okay, this replaces Google Docs and replaces something else. Then if you have like a table with data to manage your tasks or to just plot some data in, and just say, okay, this replaces Google Sheets or replaces Airtable, right? And then they say, okay, not only I can do everything that I want to do with this tool, it replaces all the other tools and I have all this information in one platform. So then that is an irresistible offer. So that's why that page is so good. And that's why they've grown so much, because people understand that they can quit everything else and just use Notion.
Right. That's so good. You said something about Basecamp where like they're okay for people to outgrow Basecamp and move on to something else. One thing I find companies doing, and I want to get your opinion on this, is they call out who their target audience is right at the get-go, whether that's, for busy entrepreneurs. So this is a financial software for busy entrepreneurs. Or, this is for large enterprise companies. What do you think about that? Like calling out right in the copy or the headline who their target audience is, so that they kind of reject people who they don't want to sign up for. Because on the other end of it, people are like, I just want to get everybody to sign up for this to see who converts. What are your thoughts on that?
Usually that's a really good practice. The couple of scenarios that works really well is, for example, let's say you have a CRM and let's say you have like a real estate company or something. And I mean, I know there are real, let's just imagine there's only like a couple CRMs for real estate and the rest of the market, like everyone else, like all of your real estate agents they're using like Pipedrive. That is like a generic tool, right? They're using like Pipedrive or Zoho CRM or Salesforce or whatever, right? And then you get to know this company, which says, okay, I have a CRM specifically designed for real estate, right? Then that's the point where, okay, that calling out their target is going to make a huge difference, because they completely stand out. So we can say, okay, this is specifically for real estate. This was designed by real estate agents for real estate agents. This has all your use cases that other generic CRMs don't have. And then you'll look at us and say, okay, this is exactly what I need. There's no way that I'm going back to a generic CRM, right? So that one would make, that's the scenario number one that would make a huge difference, right? And scenario number two is when you call out, do those kind of call outs, but for enterprise, because enterprise care about two things. They really care about personalization. They care about that. If you're doing a demo, it's going to be personalized. It's going to be exactly about their company using their data and all that stuff. And the other thing that they really care about is the compliance requirements and the support that they'll need, right? So when you do that, you're basically calling them out and you're turning off the small little companies that you don't want to target because they don't want that kind of support because they know that comes with a higher price tag. And then you're turning on the decision makers of the enterprise companies because then they know exactly what they're going to get and they're not going to delegate to someone else on their team, like under them, to just say, okay, hey, Laura, just go check what this company does and tell me if it's a good fit or not. And then I'll jump on a call with them. That's what happens. That's why you don't get decision makers, because you turn them off.
That's true. That's totally true. I kind of want to drive home this point because I've said to people, you know, people I've worked with before, like, hey, we need to be more specific here about who we're targeting. And they're just, hey, we're missing out. We're leaving money on the table by being too specific. What do you say to those people like, hey, let's just make it as broad as possible so we can try to get as many signups as possible, as many, you know, people to convert as possible, instead of being like, oh, this is a CRM for real estate where maybe there's a target audience that we haven't thought about?
I mean, I think when you create a SaaS product, this is something that you just have to think of, you know, whenever you're creating your product, whenever you're validating it. Is you need to think about, am I going for a vertical solution? So something that is highly specific for the use cases of a particular niche, a particular vertical, right? So that example for the CRM for real estate, that they have some unique use cases. For example, you can follow up after a open house or something. And that's a scenario that another CRM is not going to have, right? So you're going to either choose to be a vertical solution, which is that example, or an horizontal solution, let's say like ClickFunnels, right? ClickFunnels is an horizontal solution because regardless if you're selling supplements or if you're selling coaching, you're gonna need those funnels. You're going to need a fast way to create those funnels. Right? So the use case is exactly the same for everyone, but what they're selling is different. So the messaging can be the same. So that's what I would do. Is I would decide if I was selling a vertical or a horizontal solution, and then act accordingly.
That's a good point. I want to start wrapping up. One of the questions I love asking is if you had one advice to marketers or entrepreneurs about their landing page or website, what would be that one advice?
Yeah, is to really make them realize that the landing page only has like one job, right? Is if we can get them to believe that the only way to fix their problem is by using your product, then you can close them at any price. And it's the same thing with sales. So that's really it. If we get them to believe that they can use your products to get the result that they want, they're not going to look anywhere else. They're not going to hesitate. They're not going to be confused. That's all you want to focus on.
That's so good. That's a good way to just, it's very succinct and you're totally right. It's just that one thing. One final question. Where can people find out more about you? You know, where do you have a website? Do you want to send them to LinkedIn? Do you want to send them to Twitter? This is your time to give your call to action to my listeners.
Yeah. So I have, you know, a couple of ways. So one, you can watch my videos on LinkedIn. Just search for my name, you know, Pedro Cortez, and you'll probably find it. I just post like four times a week or something, like with ton of those tiny nuggets that we talked about here. And then the other way to find me is at Cortez.design, where I have like the actual formula for the landing page that we talked about. I actually have it available for free. You can find it there. And you can also book a call to assess, you know, what things you might be going wrong and how to fix it. And then if we are a good fit, I'll make you an offer and you can decide if you wanted to do it with me or not, right? So that's something that you can find on the website or find on LinkedIn. And you'll definitely have a ton of content to go through.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time, Pedro. I really, really appreciate it.
Awesome, man. I'm hoping that is going to be super useful for your audience.
Well, that's it for this episode. I just want to remind you that I have created a free growth cheat sheet with all the actionable tips from this episode in a one-page PDF. Seriously, why take notes when you can just steal mine and download it? Go to growthtoday.fm/118 and get it now for free before I take it away after this week. What you'll learn in this cheat sheet is the 5 common landing page mistakes to avoid that Pedro shared in this episode. Now, before I end, I just want to thank the sponsor for this episode. Now, 42 Agency works with high-growth B2B SaaS companies, helping them build and scale revenue and marketing operations that accelerate demand generation and pipeline growth. Learn more and get $500 in free consulting time. Visit them at growthtoday.fm/42 or find that link in the description. Please also support me in the 3 easy ways if you've been listening so far now. I'd love for you to support me. First, you can share a quote on Twitter, or you can tell a friend about this podcast. That's how podcast shows like this grow. Second, you can join the Grow Today mailing list. You'll get the cheat sheet directly emailed to you. I also tell you who my next guests are, so you can ask questions via email. And third, leave a review on Apple Podcasts so other people can find out more about this show. That's it for now. Until the next one, this is your host, Ramley John. Keep safe, and as always, keep on growing.